Are you a team first parent?
I am going to give an affirmative yes.
I think you are. You've always been a team first kind of guy.
Are you?
I try to be. I think I'm supportive. I'm usually in the coach role.
I didn't have too many
opportunities to be a team first parent.
I love team first. You know what is not team first, Nate?
Oh, yeah.
I've got a flagrant foul for you.
Throw that.
We have not done a flagrant foul for a while. There was a cheer competition in Dallas, competitive cheer.
Mm-hmm.
30,000 plus people, and some parents got in a fight, and it led to chaos and evacuation. I'm just going to say, parents fighting in the stands, you are not team first.
Team first.
You think you're team first, but you are not.
That's yourself. That's not even putting your kid first.
You know, I just thought of the old Jim Mora, the coach from the Saints and the Colts. Uh-huh. His
many good quotes.
Yes. One of them was when he was talking to some reporters in a press conference. He says, "You think you know, but you don't know." Pretty. I think it was awesome.
Jim Mora has some great quotes.
So if you are the team, you think you're the team first parents and you're getting in a fist fight in the stands, you think you're a team first parent, but you are not a team first parent.
Mm-hmm.
So let's figure out how you can be a team first parent.
Let's do it. Let's get some good thought provoking stuff going here.
Here's something for the parents to think about, Nate. Are you helping or are you hurting?
Mm-hmm.
How do you support without overstepping your bounds? And this is just kind of a good thought. Maybe you could put this up on one of those boards in your living room or wherever. Winning culture starts at home.
Mm.
I like that one.
Yeah, it'd be fun if you could make some pamphlets with some of these or something. I would throw out, think about, what are the do's and don'ts? What?
Did you say pamphlets? Is anybody doing pamphlets anymore?
Apparently old man Crandall is.
Man, bring out some long underwear too. Mm-hmm. Okay, go. Okay, sorry.
That's okay.
I interrupted on do's and don'ts, and now I'm curious because this is good because this sounds practical.
I would just say a great thing to think about. What would be the do's and don'ts of supporting the team? Okay. Another awesome thing to think about. What are smart ways that parents can support a team? Or if you want to put a little bit of a buzzword to it, parents, how do you stay in your lane?
Man, I want to lean into that one.
I definitely think we should lean into that one.
If you don't lean into that one, you're going to be cooked. I've been seeing that one a lot lately.
I love cooked.
Cooked.
I love the dual meaning that some of them have. Because like you'll talk to a kid and they're doing really good. Man, I'm cooking out here. And then you talk to them after their math test. Oh, I got cooked. It's like, wow, so close.
I like the first use of it.
Yeah,
it's fun. Back to Home Alone 1 where they're watching the old movie or what. It's like, hey, you're really cooking, Frankie. Wasn't that from Home Alone 1?
I can't remember.
Should ask my kids. They have every
the Home Alone line, experts.
They have every line memorized from Home Alone.
So what's the line, Steve? Over-involved, under-involved, what's the balance?
That is the big question. How do you balance this and not become the meddling, overbearing parent? And
meddler.
And then how do you avoid being the over-involved parents, overstepping bounds? And how do you avoid being the absentee parent?
Yeah.
That's just not even involved.
Well, I will say this right up front. I think the most important thing is to get really clear as a parent about how you want to be involved and what are your motives for being involved?
I like that. The motives.
The lack of clarity leads to some people doing some things and that without thinking about it, then they end up creating a problem. But if you get really clear on the front end, clarity wins. Get clear about your motives.
If you are trying to support, in air quotes, the team as a way to get more playing time or to get a
bigger role
in the school play, if you want your daughter to be the drill team captain, those types of things, then I think you're overstepping your bounds.
Mm-hmm. And it's like you could have two parents do the exact same thing, but one of them's coming from a place of, yeah, I got to, you know, insert myself here to make sure that my kid gets theirs. And then you have another one that's totally like, I don't care. I'm just here to support. And the motive shows through. Like that, I think more than anything else is because you can't control what other people say about it. But if you're coming from a good place, it tends to hold up.
Can I bring in our buddy Chad Sims again?
Please do.
Because I just had a thought. He coaches at Davis High, and he said something that was so, in episode 69, that was so important to me. It has just stuck to me. He said, we can't have a Davis versus Davis situation. Yeah. Meaning
I remember that.
Infighting. And sometimes what happens is when parents are trying to support the team and trying to help the coaches, if they overstep their bounds, I think you almost are guaranteed of having some infighting with the parents, or at least it may not be out in the open, but you're going to have a Davis versus Davis situation. That's going to end up harming your son or daughter. It's going to end up harming the team, probably the coaches. And so I know one of the things, I had some great sport parents, and we tried to really set the boundaries and make them clear.
Mm-hmm.
But I had so many supportive parents. I could just list the names. They got involved in all of the things that I asked them to be involved in, and did a wonderful job. But they were very consistent in their actions, and they were always above board. And so I know in some cases you might had some parents or people on the outside say, oh, well, he's playing because his dad is doing this or whatever. And you can't control what the other parents are thinking. But if you're consistent and above board, they're going to know that, hey, they're just doing what they're supposed to do.
I think
they're doing what they've been asked, you know, helping at the snack bar, participating in a fundraiser, helping out with the team dinners, those types of things.
Above board's a great phrase there. And I don't think above board means that everybody knows about it. I think above board is you're working together. Respecting the way that the coach is asked. You know, a lot of coaches will detail how parents can help out, and that's a good thing to have. And I think being above board is just doing some of those things that the coach does. I think sometimes being above board is staying behind the scenes. You know, some of the more generous things that I've seen parents do for a team is they'll make a contribution to the district's foundation account, you know, the charitable donation thing, and they'll do it anonymously. And they'll just, you know, put it in there, and then they let them know, hey, the basketball program or this, you know, performance, the drama department, you got a donation from somebody.
You just made me think of a great sport. Oh, I just used the word great, and I am using it correctly here. This was great. I did not know about this till actually after the fact. But we had a young man who was in a family situation where money was hard to come by.
Financially disadvantaged.
Financially disadvantaged. There you go. This parent, behind the scenes, took care of his shoes and bought him some clothes and paid for his phone. And so that he could stay connected. So he had, you know, shoes, because he couldn't pay for them on his own, and his family couldn't pay for them.
And you didn't know about this till
know about this. And it would have been really easy for the dad to come to me if he was trying to exert some undue influence, or if he was playing what we would call below board, mm-hmm. was not above board. He could have come to me and said, hey, you know, here's some money. Will you give it to so-and-so to help him out? Some people might do that as a way to, hey, now the coach knows that I'm doing this. They might also have just totally good intentions by giving it to me too. It
always goes back to the motives.
Yeah, I don't want to judge somebody and saying, oh, that's terrible. But I know by him just doing it behind the scenes, that was a for sure way to really support the team and avoid anything that looked inappropriate or trying to influence me in an inappropriate way. Yeah. It was awesome.
Well, I mean, let's just face it, at the high school level, especially with any performance-based group, sports, you know, everything, parents play a critical role. There's not enough support staff. The coach doesn't have enough time. They're usually teaching, doing something else. The parents play a critical role in that. And so that support is invaluable.
There's definitely a balancing act, because mm-hmm. we always say this. It's a phrase I love. I think it comes from Coach Don Meyer, but he says the team belongs to the players and the coaches. Well, I know some parents would say, well, wait, we're funding the mm-hmm. team. We're paying for this. We're taking them to the practice. You know, we're doing all these things. I get that. And I also want to say you can't have a successful high school program without good parental support. It's just not going to happen. And so I think when you're balancing between volunteering and then stepping over the bounds, I think you really, as a parent, you need to find out what your coach wants for that program. I sure hope that coach is spelling that out for you. I hope you don't have to ask that question. I hope that it's so crystal clear in his or her parent meeting, documents, whatever. I hope it's very clear that this is how you support the team. These are the fundraisers. We want you to be involved in this. We're going to have team dinners, or we're going to have a team retreat, or these are ways for you to volunteer. Then all the parents know, they get it. Like, we used to run a snack bar and they would just sign up. There was a spreadsheet. Mm-hmm. Nobody could say, oh, so-and-so was trying to, you know, exert any undue influence. They're all selling the packaged poison to, you know, people in the stands. Everybody's participating. And so by knowing what your coach wants, I think that helps you to support the team better. If the coach is not doing that, I do think you have to ask the question. And I think the question simply is, how do you want us to support the program?
That would be really— I love the way you said that, support the program. Because a lot of times you'll go to the director, we'll go to a coach, and we'll say, how can we support you? And I think that that's a good place to come from, is what can we do to support the program?
Yeah, the program's always, I mean, the team belongs to the coach and the players, but let's face it, even if you're a mm-hmm. Hall of Fame coach, it's like, if you die, get fired, quit, or decide to go on a sabbatical and grow a beard. I know a guy that's done this. That's weird. It just came into my mind. He got out of coaching and he's traveling the country in a van and he's got a long beard.
As long as he's not down by the river.
At least this was a few years ago. He's a very well-known coach in our parts. Yeah, we'll have to talk about it off camera. But my son and I were talking about him the other day. But now I can't even remember what I was going to say, Nate. I honestly can't remember what I was saying. I took a sabbatical. I just took a sabbatical in my brain and went somewhere else.
Anyway.
Do you even remember what I was saying?
Honestly, I don't because I got so sidetracked.
You got so just.
I was busy trying to figure out who that might be. So
you were trying to figure out. I think what I was trying to get at was.
The irreplaceable. The program is the program.
The program is the program because when a coach goes, guess what? There is going to be a new coach.
Yeah.
There's going to be a new coach.
Don't you love that indispensable man poem where it talks about, hey, if you want to know how much, go stick your hand in the water up to your wrist, pull it out, and the hole that's left, that's how much you'll be missed.
Yeah. So how can we support the program, which includes everybody? I mean, yeah. I want parents to really think about how can I be in the auditorium, in the gym, and be that really good supportive sports/performance parent versus being in the principal's office or the or the coach's or advisor's office.
The teams that I love the most, love being around the most, the groups that I admire the most have the parents that connect with each other and support the other kids as much as they support their own kid. They sit together, they talk about, they lift each other's kids up. They have each other's backs. And I think that is kind of the end game there.
That is.
In helping, because think about that. The kids are going to have more joy with the experience. If they feel supported, not just by their parents, but by everybody that's involved in the program, by the coach, by the parents, that's when they really have a great experience.
Can I throw a curveball at you?
Please do.
So let's make the assumption that the parent is above board. Intentions are great. What's the biggest mistake they make in trying to help their teen's team?
Biggest mistake they make.
Is it just being overzealous?
I think it's.
Sorry, this.
No,
this
is
a hard question.
It's a really hard question because
that's why I fired at you because I'm having a little trouble with it.
I think it's that point where. Because as a support staff, there's always going to be that point where you have to take a step back and allow the show to be the show. Like it's almost more of a drama type mentality or approach to it. But at some point, you have to let the players go on stage and do their thing. And sometimes it's challenging to remind yourself that, you know, like you host the team dinner. Do you step back at the team dinner and just allow the kids to socialize and interact with each other? And sometimes it's natural for parents to be in there and you kind of have to go with the flow on that. But, you know, the kids want to have their experience. And if we make the experience about us, then, and I think that's probably the danger zone is when it starts to shift to where is if the experience is about the parent, then it might be going over the top.
I think that's a very good response.
Thanks for putting me on the spot. I love those.
Hey, let's do a few scenarios.
Okay. A couple quick scenarios.
This first one, I'm going to say this is a flagrant foul. this might fit into that overall do's and don'ts
into the don't category.
Into the don't care. I call this the intruder. So you have trying to think of some good names right here. Let's say that Stephanie has a son, plays varsity basketball, and she's very vocal in the stands. It's all appropriate. She's cheering on the team, but then she starts coaching and the wrong kind of coaching. She's doing the sport coaching from the stands. And then she approaches the coach and is basically demanding more playing time. Two of the things that you should not ever discuss. And then she finds out from her son. He gets mad at her and says, "Hey, Mom, that was embarrassing. You're embarrassing me. You're coaching from the stands, and I found out you went and talked to coach behind my back." The intruder.
Yeah.
This is not helping the team.
Nope.
Despite all of your justifications for doing what you did, that is destructive.
Yep. That's kind of rough. And some parents are actually pretty knowledgeable about the games or activities. But at some point you got to step back and let the show be the show. So, you know, equally challenging on the other side, you talk about the intruder, then you've got the avoider scenario. Mark's daughter's in a competitive dance company. He pays for all the lessons, but he never goes and watches any of the performances. And he thinks that that's allowing her to be independent and just kind of enjoy the experience. But then after one performance, his daughter comes to him and says, "Hey, I didn't see you in the stands. You know, you weren't there." And at the end of the day, that highlights probably the best way that we can be supportive is just our presence. Just being a presence for your kids. And like, that's a rough thing to have to deal with mentally is, and if I'm not there for my kids, I want to be there, but I want to be there in the right way.
I like it. You will often hear kids talk about how, and usually this is later in life, they'll talk about how important it was that their parents were there.
Yep.
They were there to watch and support.
You see those videos on social media that circulate around of like, you know, they got the camera on a little kid that's in that, you know, third grade choir performance. And then their parents walk in and they see him and their face lights up like it's Christmas morning. I don't know if older kids lose that. They might not express it the same, but it's like, yeah, they're there.
Yeah. Well, let's finish with this one. This is the ideal, and this is just the team first parent. They find out what the coach needs, whether it's team dinners, travel, support, treats after practice.
Food for the bus ride to the game, and like stuff like that.
Guest speaker suggestions for the team. I know there was a few years where I would bring in guest speakers and we would do a team dinner together. And I had parents that made suggestions to people and it was just.
Had connections was, and helped bring somebody in.
And it was
in.
Just, yeah, it was terrific. But doing what your coach wants to support the program. Be a team first parent. In fact, be convicted in a court of law of being a team first parent.
Be accused
and convicted that you were a team first parent. And if some people think otherwise, so be it. Who cares? But if you do it consistently over time and you're always doing it in an above board appropriate manner, you're going to help your teen so much.
Yep.
Imagine the teen that's worried about what their parents are doing. They already have enough on their plate for their performance, their play, their singing, their game. They already have enough on their plate. Be the team first parent.
On behalf of Steve Galley, I'm Nate Crandall, and we thank you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to this episode. If you love what you're learning from the Stop Parenting and Start Coaching podcast, we would appreciate it very much if you would leave us a 5-star review and some glowing comments. We also encourage you to share this episode with your friends and family who are parents of athletes and performers. And if you want to explore further and see what Steve and I are creating to help thousands of parents, athletes, and performers, please visit our company's website at createtransformbecome.com. That's createtransformbecome.com. There you will find a growing number of resources to help you elevate your performance. Thank you again for your support, and we encourage you to create a magical relationship with your athlete and performer.